Well, it's good to be here again with all of you. If you'll notice up there, I have a single word and there's some images there, and we'll get to those a little bit later. But one of the practices that some of my friends introduced me to was picking a word as a theme for your year. And I put a little spin on that. I've taken it to, I go to scriptures and have a word or two. Sometimes they go connected with each other, like blessing and cursing. And I just look as I read through the scriptures throughout the year, where and how does that word show up? And so a couple of years ago, that was the word that I was looking at, was the word bless. And it starts right away in Genesis, in creation. We're not going to start there today. But as God creates things, the act of God after creating it is to bless it, and then to tell it to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and to do all the things God has designed it to be able to do. So as we're looking at this year, I don't know if you have that practice, if you have a word in mind, but if you don't, I think this is a great word to go into the year with. If you don't have resolutions, if you don't do those kinds of things, if you're not setting goals, but if you just take a word with you wherever you go, a theme, something that you can start to become, then this is a great word for you to pick. So we'll begin in Genesis. We're going to go a little bit further than creation, and we're going to go with God's call to Abraham. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Before we go on to Luke, I just want to spend some time looking at the repetitiveness of how God is laying this out. I will bless you, and then I will make your name great, and you then will be the blessing. You will be the blessing after God has taken and blessed you. And I'm going to bless anyone who blesses you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And as a result of me choosing you, Abraham, because I'm going to put this on you, and then you're going to become this thing, and then you are going to be able to give it out, the entire earth will be blessed through you. I just think that's phenomenal. Like, in creation, God does this. Here, he singles out, because the world is not the way. It's not operating the way that God chooses, the way that God wants. And so he finds one person, just one. Now, sometimes when we think about all of the awful things that are going on, it's overwhelming, because how could I make a difference in this horrible magnified thing that happens throughout the world? If we want to take any issue on, like poverty, homelessness, not having enough food to eat, not having enough health care, not having enough, like, they are all overwhelming. You add all of those together, it's even more overwhelming. How can we make any difference at all in all of that? God doesn't see it that way. He just starts with one. He says, this is what's going to happen. The entire earth, all peoples will be blessed through you. I remember when I was, newly married, I guess is the best way to say it. I had a couple of kids, and I'd lost a job. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. I've got a job that's going on, and we had at the church I was at a youth director for the middle school and a youth director for the high school, and they were trying to start some young married couples things as well. And so Josh and Aaron would invite me to help out. I don't know why I kept saying yes. All I knew is if Josh and Aaron wanted to spend time with me, I was going to leave feeling better than when I showed up. I don't know that they did anything special. It was who they were. It wasn't because I was serving that I got anything. It was because I got to spend time with both Josh and Aaron, and they asked me to help out with the fifth grade boys, and they asked me to help out and just be, because, you know, you got middle school boys around, you need an extra male presence in the room, and so that's who I was for a lot of it, and it was just this time of receiving from them by being with them. I don't know if you know those people, that if you are just around them, your day is better. You know, that person that walks in the room and everyone is like, well, I'll do an old reference here, a lot of young people won't know it. Norm! Yeah. The whole room lights up when a person walks in the room like that, that everybody loves, that is so lovable towards everyone else. And Abraham, it's called by God to be a blessing. I'll dive into blessing a little bit more later. He's called to be that. He's called to become that. God is going to do that to him. And then he's to go do that for the entire world. Now, it'd be a daunting task if Abraham had to do it alone, but it's not that Abraham is doing it. It is through Abraham. It goes through and out. So everyone that Abraham blesses is now a partaker in the blessing that then goes out to everyone else from Abraham and on and on and on. Well, let's come to the New Testament and let's see how Jesus invites us into this idea of being a blessing. So we're going to go to Luke 6, 27 to 35. Again, probably a familiar passage to many of you. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them also the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there's a lot in there that I could unpack with all of those statements, and there's a connection between loving, doing good, blessing, and praying for that we could dive into, but I just want to focus on blessing, and we could do the exchange here of if someone does this, you do this. There's a whole piece that Jesus is trying to show when someone does wrong to you, don't retaliate, instead expose the wrong that's done, but I don't even want to go there. I just want to focus on this idea of blessing. Now, before we go any further, I have a confession to make. I've done this as a five-part series before, and so I'm trying to do this all in one sermon, so maybe I can get it all in a half an hour. I don't know. We're going to try to do that. But what I want you to know is there's a whole lot more layers. There's a whole lot more in here that we could unpack as we go through this idea of blessing and being a blessing. So I want to start with the word that is translated as bless, because I think we need to understand what does it mean to bless. It's a funny word that we throw around in Christian circles, and when you say it to someone who is not a Christian, they really don't know what you mean. They don't really know what to do with it. And so, what does it really mean? The Hebrew is barak. And I don't care whether you know that or not, I just like looking at the Hebrew. And as we start to look at what that word looks like, we get it translated as to bless, but the image, because Hebrew is an image language, is kneeling. Now, we don't do a lot of kneeling in society, but if I were to go down and kneel, what have I just done to whoever I might be in front of? I've just honored and elevated everyone that I kneel before. This is an ancient idea. It is taking and giving honor, and all I needed to do was symbolically lower my level to someone else. Now, we might do this in some cultures by just a simple bow, but it's that idea of coming before, lowering your status to someone else, and by doing that, you are adorning them, you are lifting them up, you are even can do this with your voice in praise. So when we sing songs that say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," it is praising the Lord, bringing honor to the Lord. It is lifting that up. Maybe a more modern way to think about this would be to salute. If you're in the military and there is an officer who comes in, you bless them by saluting them. You are giving honor to them. You are recognizing the difference between you and them. Now, Hebrew also does this thing, so it does also can mean, if you have the right tense, curse, which I think when I was doing this whole study of blessing, that cursing, just like if you know that light is a thing, darkness really isn't a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. If we turn the lights out, darkness is here. But if the lights are on, darkness can never come in here. In the same way, I think, as I've studied blessing and cursing, that blessing is a thing that does exist, and cursing is really the removal or the absence of it. It's not to say you can't go in that direction of doing hostility and other things towards people and wishing them poor. But I'm saying is, when I remove my blessing, by simply removing my blessing, a curse exists in the void. And I think I get that idea when I'm playing with that word barak, which is to kneel, is to bless, is to adorn, is to praise. When I go look it up in an English dictionary, it says to pronounce words in a religious rite, to confer or invoke divine favor upon, ask God to look favorably upon someone. Those still all feel really religious on some level. And like I was saying, I just really like the idea of, if you leave today feeling better from being here in this service than you were blessed. It's really that simple. If you leave today and you're feeling worse, then you were not blessed here today. If you go out and whatever you're doing afterwards, you have a conversation, I don't know if you call it the narthex, I don't know what you call it here, or in the fellowship hall, and you're having coffee, and someone speaks something that you needed to hear, then they blessed you. If someone does something for you, like Jesus is talking about here, of if you do something expecting something in return, what good is that? Even sinners do that. It's not a blessing at Christmas to exchange gifts, is it? I gave you something, I received something in return. Now, as my kids have gotten older, what we've kind of done is it's a $20 limit, and we just do this fun gift exchange where we throw something in there that's worthless, that nobody wants, and we throw something that's valuable, and then you can steal the gift from someone else, and so you try to make it worth stealing, but you also put something that's of no value in there. Just to let you know, a smoke alarm has been passed around for 6 years. It is unopened. It will get recycled again. But along with that was something else of value. How do we bless people? Well, there's a book out there that, and there's others who have talked about this idea of being a blessing. And so if you look at the acronym of blessing, and this isn't so much a tool to use as it is a way to become. So, blessing is beginning with prayer. Now, I didn't make it up, so I don't know why you would not use prayer as the first word, but it's begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and then share. Share your story about Jesus. So as you are trying to bless someone, how do you do that? How do you bless someone? Well, maybe you know someone that really needs to be blessed. Maybe you have a neighbor like mine who is a little bit hostile. My sons, a few years ago during COVID, you know, 4th of July, did fireworks, and, you know, our church was in conditions, and so they were the whole tech crew because they were family, so they could be there and do all of that. So the next morning was Sunday. July 5th was Sunday, and they were in church doing all of the sound tech stuff, so they didn't clean up before going to church. They, as soon as they got home, went over, started cleaning up all the stuff, and some of it had flown in the neighbor's yard from all the fireworks. Ever since then, my neighbor is hostile towards me. They didn't come, and I had to go tell the neighbors, and I had to do it. They were at church worshiping. I explained this to them. Does it matter? My neighbor's now hostile. What can I do towards my neighbor? I can pray. Can't go knock on the door, can't have conversations. They're still hostile towards me. They're still hostile towards my sons. It's actually gotten better. This year, she waved at me. I'm serious. That felt really good when I waved and she waved back. I can't do more than that at this point. So you begin with prayer. You pray for the person. You pray for your community. You can do this in lots of different ways. You can do this, and I don't know if you've done this, and if you don't do prayer walks, I love the idea of doing a prayer walk. Just walk your neighborhood. Walk your neighborhood. You may not know all the things that need to be prayed about, but I've done this several times as churches. One of the fun things to do is just do this in pairs of two. Walk along the street. That way, when you're praying out loud, nobody thinks you're weird and talking to yourself. So, you know, if you have a spouse, you have a friend you can do this with, do this on a regular basis. Walk your neighborhood. Pray as you walk. You see toys in the yard, bicycle that's by the road that almost made it in the road to get run over. You know, you got probably a young boy or young girl in there, and that parents need a lot of prayer. So pray for them. Pray for their household. If you happen to know stuff about them, you know their job situation, you know other things, it's just a nice reminder to walk by and pray for them. Now, this time of year, probably not doing a prayer walk outside, but you can still drive the neighborhood, especially when the lights were out for Christmas. You could drive the neighborhood. It wouldn't look suspicious or anything. You just begin by praying for them. And if you don't know what to pray, just pray anyway. I don't know who's in this house. I don't know who's here. But God, I just pray your blessing upon them. I pray for opportunities to be able to engage with them at some point. If you've got coworkers, you can do this at work. If you're a student, you can do this at school. You know, maybe there's that bully in the school that everyone knows about, but they don't pick on you. Pray for them. Maybe they do pick on you. Pray for them. Whatever it is, begin with prayer. The second thing is to listen. Now, if you have a relationship with this person and you can engage with this person, you can listen to that person, tell you what they need, what's going on. Now, my neighbor, again, has planted trees between our houses, and I call them deer candy because the deer want to eat them. They're not a pine tree, but I don't know what kind of tree they are, but they're some kind of evergreen, and the deer just gnaw them down like crazy. Well, this year, she forgot or she didn't put burlap bags all over them, you know, to hide them, to cover them up. If we were in good relationship, if I could go over and talk to her, and I talked to my wife about this, should I go over? And she's like, no, don't. She has family, she has kids, she has, you know, the grounds crew that comes and does things, so. But if she had happened to say to me, boy, I don't have anyone this year to be able to put those up, I could listen to that and say, well, let me do that for you. You listen for opportunities. You listen for things to pray about. You listen as you engage and talk to the person. The other thing you do is you listen to the Holy Spirit. So I've been praying with the Holy Spirit whether I should intervene in that situation or not, and I didn't get a clear yes, you should go do this. It felt like no, You've gotten some good grace with the neighbor. Don't ruin that by doing too much. So you listen. You listen to the person. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen for promptings. Maybe you haven't had this situation of the Holy Spirit prompting you. I'm not saying it's something that happens to me all the time, but since I started studying this idea of blessing and listening to the Holy Spirit, I think I've heard the Holy Spirit more times than I ever have in my life. So if this sounds new to you, I understand that. I didn't grow up with this idea, especially, you know, in the Reformed Church. You know, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit on Pentecost and the rest of the time, let's do everything decently and in order. So how do you mean, listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, during COVID, my mom lives up in the UP, and I was going to leave the house, and I don't ever carry cash. I haven't carried cash in 20 years. Why would I carry cash? I got a card. It works everywhere. And those places it doesn't work, I don't need to go. I'm okay. I'll be fine. But I was going to leave the house. I'm going to have a five-hour drive to my mom's house, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, take that cash. What? What do you mean, take that cash? And I don't know how you hear the Holy Spirit. It's just this thought that raced through my head. Take that cash. And I know it's not my thought because I don't carry cash. I wouldn't think to carry cash. So I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Now, the only reason I have cash is because kids will come to the door selling things. By the way, there's probably someone in your neighborhood, kids, that if you go to the door, they have money waiting. They want you to come to their door. They will buy from you no matter what. And I know it's scary to go door to door, but just an aside there. If you're afraid going door, there are people like me who have money waiting. They want you to come to their door. They'll buy whatever you're selling, even if they won't eat it. I've got a Boy Scout that comes every year to buy popcorn because he knows that. Or to sell popcorn, I buy it. So I grab the cash. And I go to the gas station as I'm going to because I got a five-hour drive. I'm going to fill up. And normally I just pay at the pump and I leave. But I got a five-hour drive and I'm like, I want something to drink. And as I'm pumping at the gas pump, I notice a dad and his young daughter at the pump that's nearby. I just notice them out of the corner of my eye, and okay, that's interesting. And I go inside, and normally I know exactly what I'm going to get, and I just couldn't make up my mind. So I'm just wandering around in the store, wasting time, trying to decide if I should buy something with sugar or if I shouldn't. Anyway, I finally make a decision. I'm walking up to the counter, and I see this dad that I had noticed rushing up to the counter, and little girl is following right behind him. And so I just pause, and I'm watching this circumstance unfold, and what happened was he had a gift card for the gas station. He had put the gift card in, and he was going to let his, like, 8-year-old daughter pump the gas for the first time. Well, she didn't know when you lift it up, you have to lift and pull and bring it out, because if you go straight up with her little hands, it drops straight back down because it didn't come off. Well, the $20 was taken off of the gift card because it was prepaid. And now he's got zero balance on the gift card, and he got no gas. And I'm going, was this why I was supposed to bring the money with me? And I'm still going, do I do this or not? And I just reach in my pocket, and I pull out, okay, I got a $20 bill. I didn't even look at what I had. So I go, let me take care of that. And the cashier gave me the weirdest look, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, let me take care of this. Let me take care of this. Because he's explaining to the person that the money is off of there. He can't get the money refunded. There's a holiday on Monday, so it won't even be back on the card until Tuesday. And he's explaining, the dad is, I'm from out of town. I have to get back home. How am I going to get back home? All I had was the gift card to get gas. I have no other money. And I just give the $20, say, let me pay for this. The dad is really ecstatic about this, and he and the daughter go off to pump gas. And then I had a great conversation with the attendant going, why would you do that? Because I could. And because the Holy Spirit said, do this. It didn't cost me. I didn't notice any difference. But that family was blessed because I had listened and I chose to bless someone else. So I listened and I responded. Now, normally, I don't like to give myself as a good example, but it just really is a simple example of how we can listen and we can look. Now, if I had just argued with the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is normally what I do when the Holy Spirit prompts me, I argue a little bit and I go, I don't know about that. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know if I want to do that. This time I didn't, and someone else was blessed because I didn't. Now, when you're trying to listen, I know starting a conversation with someone you don't know might be a little difficult. So I've got some suggestions of ways that you can do this. I've got four H's that you can remember, or four P's. So I'll give you these examples. If you want to write these down, if you're saying, I don't know how to engage someone, I don't know how to listen, I don't know the good questions to ask, here's a good way to remember it. Ask someone their history. Tell me a little bit about, tell me more about your story. Ask them about their heart. What do you love to do? What are you into? What do you love about it? Ask them about their hopes. What are your dreams? What are you hoping to do in the future? Ask them about their hurts. What would you change about your life? What would you change around you? So you can ask them about their history. You can ask them about their heart. You can ask them about their hopes. You can ask about their hurts. Or if that doesn't work for you, you could try pain. What are the challenges and difficulties? And then listen. Ask them about their pennies. What are the challenges and difficulties in your finances? Ask them about power. Where can you influence that can bring change to it? So you're listening for these things as you're asking those other questions. And then parties. Where are the things you can celebrate around here? Those are the things you can ask as you are trying to listen to other people. Now, the third of these is eat. Now, there's also another book. If you're, I mentioned I do a lot of stuff online. It's hard to eat with people online. So there's another book. This book is actually out there, Blessed Practices. You can get it. John Ferguson, a friend of mine, has published that. There's also another one called Sharing Jesus Online that goes over these blessed practices as well, to be specific. So if you're trying to reach grandkids who are far away and all they know is being online, this is a good book, Sharing Jesus Online. So here, instead of eat, it's enjoyed shared experiences together. But I wanted you to just kind of look for a minute at how often Jesus ate with people. So I have a list of every passage in Luke that Jesus is eating with someone. Now, there's a great way to look at Luke, and that is Jesus is just going from one meal to the next. That is the whole of the book of Luke. We start at Levi's house, and then he goes to Simon's house, and then he feeds the 5,000, and then he's at Mary and Martha's house, and then he's at a Pharisee's house, he's at another Pharisee's house, he's at Zacchaeus' house, he's in the upper room, he's on the walk to Emmaus, and then he has the resurrection meal with the disciples. Luke is just a whole bunch of meals. And I know the church loves to do meals, but when was the last time you intentionally did meals with people outside the church that are in your neighborhood? Or that, like Jesus said, don't have the ability to invite you back to dinner with them? That you could just invite them and bless them and eat with them. One of the things that really is, human, I guess, is the way to describe it. It's just how amazing it is to have conversations around a meal with people. It is. If you don't know someone, the best way to get to know them is sit down and eat with them. Sit across the table. While you're there, there are no distractions of the world around us. We don't have, you still might have your phone with you. I usually put my phone down when I'm eating. I don't like to have it at the table. But I'm not thinking about other things. I'm just thinking about who I'm with and what's going on. And while you're eating, what do? You have conversations. And so that's where you can do this listening as well. While you're sitting there across with someone, asking about what's going on in your life. How are you doing? Tell me about yourself. You can do all of these things together at the same time. And as And we've already gotten into this. The first S is serve. So as you are doing these things of praying for the person, listening for the person, enjoying shared experiences, or eating with the person, you've already heard and seen ways where you can serve other people. Now, where I live in Montague, we have some communities that have sidewalks, and we have some that don't have sidewalks. I live on the corner, and it happens to be the bus stop. So I've got a sidewalk that runs all the way from my house down the block. There's three houses on my side of the block. And the one person on the end lives in Massachusetts, actually. This is their summer home that they come to. They're never there in the summer. So that end of the block isn't plowed at all. So any of the kids who start off down in the neighborhood who have to walk to the bus have to walk in the road to get to the bus. I don't know about you, but I don't really like the idea of kids standing in the road on a street corner waiting for a bus when it's dark. It doesn't feel like a good thing. So 2 years ago when I got a nice front snowblower to go on my John Deere tractor, I started blowing all, so this is both a selfish reason and a blessing, just making sure that's clear. I get to drive all the way down and plow the whole sidewalk. I go through my neighbor who doesn't like me and through the neighbor who is in Massachusetts right now, and I clear the sidewalk all the way down. And the kids can stand in the corner on the sidewalk away from the road waiting for the bus. Now, I had already before my neighbor started feuding with my sons asked about my ability to do that. I said, hey, it's really hard to turn, you know, the snowblower around on a sidewalk. Is it all right if I just plow all the way through your sidewalk too? And she said that was fine, and I'm still taking it as it's fine, and she said nothing to the contrary. But I do it for two reasons. One is because I want something for those kids. I will get nothing in return from those kids. I don't know if I even get thank yous. You know, they wave, they know who I am. I know that I plow the street. Nobody else in the neighborhood clears their sidewalks. I'm that one weird guy that clears the sidewalks. That's probably because I grew up in Holland and the city clears your sidewalks. And you have fines if you don't clear the sidewalk, if there's a side road and those things. So you begin with prayer, and you listen, and you enjoy shared experiences, you eat with people, you serve people when an opportunity comes up, and then you share your story. If you're doing these things, if you're doing these things for someone and they don't know why you're doing them, they're going to ask you, why are you plowing the sidewalk? You don't even have any kids in the house. Why are you doing that? When I was talking with the cashier, why did you do this? And I got to say, because I believe I could bless someone else, because God was calling me to do that. And so I stepped in to bless someone who has no ability to do anything in return for me. I made their day better. I was able to do something to be a blessing to someone else. And that's what it is. Blessing. Being the hands and feet that would do to someone else as you would have them do to you. If I was standing at the gas station and that had happened to me and I had no money and I've got my family in the car and I've got to get home, oh, I would want someone to do that for me. And so I do that for someone else. Because I see the need and go, if I were in their shoes, I would want someone to step in. And I have the ability to step in, so I'm going to do that for them. I don't know if you have one of those people in your life that does that, that blesses you. I don't know if you're one of those people that likes to bless other people. But when you get to share your story, don't be afraid of it. And it doesn't have to be this long, ongoing thing. It can be really simple. I believe that Jesus said to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, and I'm trying to live that out. That can be the fullness of your story. They're going to ask more questions then. Let them. Engage with them. Love them. I know one of the things that churches are often, after COVID, asking questions about is how do we get more people in the pews? How do we get people back in church? And I think that's an okay question, but I think we need to do a step before how do we get people here? And that is, what are the needs of the people around us? How do we bless the people around us? If we are blessing the people around us, they're going to want to be like us. The same way that any time Josh and Aaron said, "Can you help?" I said, "What time do I have to be there?" When you make that impact in someone's life, they are going to want to be where you are. And then a simple invitation of, "Hey, I'm going to church on Sunday. Would you like to come along with me?" isn't an out-of-the-blue thing. It isn't a, "Oh, that doesn't sound like a thing I would want to do." It sounds like a thing of, "I get to be with you. And you are my friend. And I love being around you. Because you represent and you are love and Jesus and blessing in my life." So if you haven't already, I hope you go through this year wanting to bless people. And that's your focus for the year. Let's pray. God, it is so amazing how you love the unlovable, how you are merciful to the unmerciful, how you are kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And that includes all of us. Your love has no bounds. Help us to love the same way that you love us, to be a blessing to others. Help us to begin to pray, begin to listen, and to serve so that we can share the story of your love. What you've done for us, and what you've done for everyone. We pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Maybe you don't think about this at the end of every service, but there is a benediction, a blessing that is spoken over all of you, not for you alone, but for you to take that with you and to bring it to someone. So receive this blessing so that you may give it. May God's seeking comfort find you. May his loving arms bind you. May his might protect you. May his wisdom direct you. May the joyous love of Jesus Christ be with you and all those you know, both now and forevermore. Amen.